Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I want to mourn the old trees and tell them that we love them.
I've looked at clear cuts and burnt forest and I've felt outraged.
We are the crowning glory of God's creation, and all of nature was made for us. Nature is more productive because of us, not less.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Okay. I'm not Todd Friel. I know that's hard to believe. We sound so similar, but it is. It's true. It's just me, Jimmy Hicks. It is little old me. And I'm in the studio today. Todd's not. He's on campus at Kennesaw State University, which can only mean this is Witness Wednesday. And we get to be a fly on the wall as Todd has conversations with university students. So let's not waste a whole lot of time getting to that. You don't want to hear me talking. You know what Witness Wednesday is. So let's jump right in and send it out now to Todd on campus at Kennesaw State University.
Hello and welcome. What are the odds that I would actually bump into my very best friend? What's your name again? I'm kidding. It's William. Yeah, I know that. Yeah. We're here chatting with William on a bench at Kennesaw State University, and you are studying political science. And here's what I need to know from you, William. What does one do with a political science degree?
Right. You know, you always hear the argument of like somebody who studies art. And, you know,
what do you do?
Like, what do you do? What do you do with an art degree?
You teach it.
Yeah, you teach it, right? That's about all you can do. Mine is not looking into the application of what I can do with my political science. It is merely out of interest. We did briefly talk a little bit about me before we did this, but I'm actually also serving in the military.
I don't know. Good on you. Tell me, why do you want to serve in the Marine? What branch is it?
It is the Marine Corps.
Marines. Well, see, the whisker. I knew this. Yeah, I Google things and no. Okay.
I'm telling your comment sections are going to blow up. They're going to be like, what is this guy doing?
That's why we live. Yeah, we really don't have interest in you per se.
Of course.
We just want views. That's what life is about.
It's the algorithm.
That is exactly it. So why would you, William, be willing to potentially risk your life for this?
Indeed. I think it's an understanding that, well, let's start off with a value system. You know, everybody grows up with a certain value system, right? My situation growing up, my parents instilled in me a very much value system of, you know, believing in God and country.
Okay. Is this going to get religious?
This is not going to get religious. No, this is just a simple statement, right? I took that value system and I applied it in the best way that I could at the time that I knew that I could, which was, of course, joining into some kind of branch, which was the Marine Corps. Right.
So this God and country business.
Yes.
All right. Who is God?
Who is God? Who is God to anybody? I mean, God really, I guess it depends on who you view God as. Everybody has their own walk and their own journey.
Could I challenge that?
Yeah, absolutely.
This bench is actually a watermelon that we're sitting on. That's my belief. So who is this bench to me? It's a watermelon.
Good on you. I don't agree with you, but that's the good thing about our country.
But clearly, we're not sitting on a watermelon.
Yeah, clearly.
Okay, so my point would be that my beliefs are ultimately irrelevant. The question is the object of my belief true?
I don't think it's that your belief is irrelevant. Bear with me. I think it is up to me to prove that your belief is irrelevant.
All right. But for instance, if I looked at one of these buildings and said, my belief is that that building over there, Kennesaw Hall, is a bowl of prunes. No matter how much I believe that, the intensity of my faith doesn't actually make it a bowl of prunes. It's a building. And so ultimately, what I believe doesn't make it reality. How's about that statement?
So what you believe doesn't make it reality. Okay, that's fair because you're using observation, right?
I can't, by merely believing, make something so. I can't make it true, nor can I make it false, frankly. I'm either accurate in my understanding and belief, or I'm not.
Yeah, I think I would agree with you there.
All right, so who do you think God is?
You know, again, it's this...
You can just say, just go ahead. I'm not going to be offended. Okay.
Well, no. It's fine. It's just so funny because God, you know, nowadays, in my opinion, has just become this overarching term of whomever you view God as, you know.
But I'm asking you, William, the Marine with whiskers, who is God?
Specifically me. What do I view God as?
Your God. Oh, wait, sorry. So who do you think that God is? If you defined the deity that runs the place, who is it?
Morgan Freeman.
Okay. Well, that's a start. You got to get the voice.
Yeah.
Is divine.
It's golden. It is absolutely golden.
The voice.
I would want to have a conversation. The day that I die, I want to go up and then God's voice will be Morgan Freeman.
I suspect it'll actually be better.
Oh,
but that's right. Well, that's, you know, Morgan's a good guy and everything. But I think we can do better.
We are made in his image, right? So, I mean, maybe Morgan.
All right. So you just used a biblical allusion. I know that much. So you're a Christian or a Jew?
I am a Christian. Arguably not a practiced one, though. I must say I don't go to church often.
You grew up in a Christian home?
Yes.
Very specific question for you, William. The Christian faith, the core of it, the center of it, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. As succinctly as you can, what is the gospel of Jesus Christ? Go.
I would view the gospel of Jesus Christ, in my understanding, would be his teachings. What it is that he taught and what it is that he embodied.
In a sentence, what did he teach?
I would have to say that he taught reservation in humanity, being the attempt to be as pure as you can be, you know, in terms of like the idea of human existence.
So my question then for you would be, do you think that you have attained the purity that he taught?
No, never.
And is there any consequence for failure to meet God's standard of purity?
I don't, on the surface, I don't think so. I don't think there is consequence purely because of the nature of his death. As a Christian, he did die for our sins. You know, did he not? I mean, the man was nailed to a cross basically to stand for all of humanity's sins. So, yes, there was a retribution in the sense, but it was through him that there was.
So even though you failed, you would be considered a guilty person in the eyes of God. You're not going to be guilty because a man 2,000 years ago died on a cross. Is that what you're telling me?
Per Christian faith, yes.
So that dying on a cross 2,000 years ago, does that work for everybody, or is there a key to receiving that forgiveness?
You know, indeed. Don't quote me on this, of course.
Well, actually, you're going to quote yourself.
I am kind of quoting myself, aren't I? Because we're on video. It's weird how that works. Sorry, this is like my first time. It's crazy. This is a great experience, too.
We're here to help.
Yeah. Thanks for facilitating. I must say that God loves all his children. This is like just a childlike view of Christian faith. Okay. I have to say, like, God, that is where I'm at on my walk. So God loves all his children, but I suppose all of his children don't know God. And the only way to know God truly, is my understanding, is through baptism.
So let me ask you a question, William. What you just described for me actually seems cosmically like a very big deal. You just told me that a man's death 2,000 years ago makes me pure, which means I do not have a consequence for my lack of purity. That's a big deal, if it's true. So do you believe that what you just told me is true?
To a degree, yes. But we also need to keep in mind the difference between cosmic accountability and cultural and relative accountability, right? So like if I were to go and commit some act of evil cosmically, right, as you said, God, or you know, the person who died for my sins, there has been retribution due to his being on the cross, right? Although socially or societally, there needs to be accountability.
But what I'm saying is, you just told me that I can be pure in the eyes of God. That statement alone, because Jesus Christ died on a cross 2,000 years ago. Is that true or not true?
I firmly believe with Christian faith that that is true.
That is true. So you're telling me, as you sit on this bench, you believe Jesus Christ actually existed and actually died for your sake?
I hope so.
So then you also said to me earlier, though, that you're not really like sure where you're at, or you're not that into, I don't want to mischaracterize, but you don't go to church much, etc.
No.
But if that, what you just told me, is objectively true, not subjectively, not because William likes the idea or because Bob or Sally likes the idea, but that actually happened. That's an objective truth. Wouldn't that affect your life somehow?
I believe so. Yes. Although I don't think we think about that often. You know, you coming here and asking me these questions are really making me kind of think like, wow, I truly don't think about this too often. I'm so bogged down with the ongoings of like school life, you know, whatever it is. This is just something that isn't really thought about. You're bringing up great points.
Is it possible that perhaps you do not esteem what you just described as a very big deal because perhaps you don't think that becoming pure is all that important?
Because we view Jesus Christ as already restoring our purity.
Well, that would be a possibility. Or you just don't think that you're that impure. So, you know, he kind of took maybe a dish rag and cleaned me up a little bit, but it wasn't that big of a deal.
Right. So we're kind of talking on terms of like vanity, maybe. Like one doesn't think that he's impure. He's good to go. There's no reason for it.
Let me tip my hand on something, William.
And stop. Yep. That's what I like to call a cliffhanger right there. Did it work? Are you sitting on the edge of your seat just waiting for us to get back and for Todd to tip his hand? What does that mean? What is he going to say? What is he going to reveal? How is William going to react? The suspense is driving us nuts. Well, find out how it all fleshes out.
So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? The hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Let's be honest. You've earned your PhD in couch sitting. You know exactly which cushion has the perfect amount of give. You memorize where the remote lands when you toss it. You are a professional. Well, congratulations. Your expertise just became holy ground. Fortis Plus has officially arrived on your TV. That's right. Your sanctuary of relaxation is now an actual sanctuary. Stream biblical truth without moving a muscle, except maybe your thumb on the remote. Every single resource Fortis Plus produces is now available on that beautiful big screen you justified buying because, well, it was on sale, honey. From your phone to now on your Roku, Samsung, LG, Vizio, Apple TV. Basically, if it has a screen and an internet connection, Fortis Plus is there. It's free to download the app. It's free to stream all of our content, funded by gospel partners who believe your couch time should count for eternity. Go ahead, stay seated, but download Fortis Plus first because your couch just got promoted.
Important dates in Christian history. 1095. Pope Urban II launches the first crusade to reclaim Jerusalem from Muslim control. The crowd wildly shouts, "God wills it." There would be several crusades over the next centuries, with many tragic results and consequences lasting for centuries.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And welcome back to Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks, guiding you through Todd's crazy campus adventures, better known as Witness Wednesday. And when we last left Todd, we also left you sitting on the edge of your seat. And I know, biting your fingernails in anticipation as Todd is having a conversation now with William. I know you're wondering just what it is that Todd said he was about to tip his hand to. What could it be? How is William going to react? Well, let's all find out together right now, shall we?
Let me tip my hand on something, William. I'm a Christian, okay? And it's been my experience that people who don't think that what Jesus did 2,000 years ago might be lacking some information in a couple of ways. Number one, they don't fully grasp who God is. You're a smart guy. So let me, I'm going to share something with you, philosophically, perhaps profound, right? You said that it's not a big deal, that there's really no consequences for our behavior here because of Jesus. I think justice is a big deal. Yes. I think we have courts. I think yes. We have police, because intuitively we sense when people do bad things, you got to pay for it.
Yes.
You've earned a payment.
Indeed.
It's jail. It's the death penalty. It's a fine, but you pay for your crimes. And I think the reason that we sense that justice is because it's really a reflection, that earthly reality is really just a reflection of what is going on in heaven. That God, by his very nature, is just. You use the term image bearers. We're image bearers. We have that inside of our noggins. We have a sense of justice because God himself is just. In fact, the Bible says the foundation of his throne is righteousness and justice. It's a big deal because he's not a sinner. He's holy. He's pure. He's just. Everything that is right, he's it. And therefore, everything that is bad, he actually hates. And that's loving. Because if I said to you, William, what do you think about a guy who raped 20 women, slit their throats, and then put them down a sewer with Drano to get rid of their bodies? Do you think that guy deserves some justice?
Yeah. I do.
That's really awful,
yeah,
right?
There needs to be, again, the word accountability keeps coming up here. Yeah.
That's fair. Because God is so much higher and holier than we are, he hates that stuff too, because he loves justice. He hates rape. He hates murder. But he goes even deeper. Jesus said, you have heard of old, you shall not commit murder. But I say, if you call your brother a fool, you're in danger of judgment. So in other words, just thinking about hating somebody, God sees it, knows it, marks it, and we're in judgment because of it. He said, you've heard it said of old, thou shalt not look, or thou shalt not commit adultery. But I tell you, if you look with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart.
In your heart. Okay. Yeah.
So God's standard is way higher. And that means when you and I break his laws, the punishment is more severe. Is that making sense?
Yeah, no, I do understand that. I must ask, is this almost like a, or could this go to a place of where the top conversation kind of goes to when it comes to this, where it's like, love the sinner, not the sin?
I was actually focusing on just understanding who God is and his nature is, and that he is indeed love. So here's the conundrum, right? You said that God loves people, and I agree with you. He does. But if God lets guilty criminals go without any sort of justice, any sort of payment for what they've done wrong, then he's unjust and he's not loving. Okay, it's not loving to let a rapist go for the person who got raped, or for their family, or for society. So justice demands a payment. God demands payment. So if he just goes, well, I just love my children, so I'm just going to forget about it, there's a big problem.
Right.
So what I'm backing up before we get to that cross business with you is an understanding of who God is, and then an understanding of who we actually are. So let me just probe into your noggin for a minute, William.
By all means, it's a scary place.
I got that sense already, I'll be honest with you. All right, if we put a computer chip,
okay,
connected to your noggin, mm-hmm, and it recorded your thought life for a weekend. Mm. And we came back to the campus, we gathered everybody together, and we put that little chip into a computer up onto a big screen, and they saw what has been going through your mind, how would you feel?
I feel like they would realize I have no idea what I'm doing with math. Truly, that would be it. They would, it would be a bunch of frustration and equations.
You know what I'm driving at,
maybe,
William.
Maybe some video games. I don't know, here and there. But no, but seriously, though, I don't really think we have much control over our thoughts, though. You know, you have those. You know, what is it called? The kind of like the background thoughts that you really aren't ever thinking about, but they're there. Yeah. You know, is that truly what the soul is, though?
Well, let's simplify it without getting into streamer thoughts and subconscious thoughts and dreams. I'm just talking about the stuff that's pretty obvious. All right. The imaginations, the lusts, the desires, the anger. Now, we're just talking about thought life here. Okay. Not to mention the things that we do, whether in private or in public. Remember, God's standard, he sees the heart, not just the actions. So he sees what's behind it. So if you've dishonored your parents, if you've used his name in vain, if you've ever shaded the truth, that's a lie. If you've looked with lust, looked at pornography, that's more than adultery of the heart. It's using your body in an impure way. And God is super high and he's super holy and he sees those things. And while you and I might just go, well, boys will be boys, God doesn't see it that way. Okay, he sees sin as exceedingly sinful. And that means that the punishment for our sins against God is extremely severe. And you know what that place is for sinners, right?
Okay. Yeah, hell. Okay. Yeah.
Describe hell for me.
Boy, do you watch Futurama? Have you ever watched Futurama? No? Guys, have you ever watched Futurama? All right, you know what I'm talking about. Perfect. The guys behind the camera know. All right. So I'm talking, you know, your viewers are probably like all about it. Like, oh yeah, Futurama. I know exactly what it's talking about. Robot hell. Fire, brimstone, all that. Raised Baptist. That's what I, I've come to know hell as, right? Yeah. Maybe another form of retribution, yeah. You know, for what it is that we've done in our life.
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. That's what it is. It is God's prison for sinners. Where that imagery from Futurama, very biblical. Lake of fire, weeping, gnashing of teeth, goes on for forever, ever. It's a terrible place because God is loving justice and punishing sinners for their crimes, not just committed against one another, but ultimately committed against him. All right. So now I just backed you up a little bit.
Okay.
I want you to use your imagination now, Mr. Futurama.
All right.
Let's go to the future. Whatever ripe age God decides, I am calling William's number. Today is the day you get no more breath.
Okay.
And you stand before his judgment seat as if you are in the cosmic courtroom of God's justice. And the books are open and he does have the computer chip to your brain. He does know the deeds that you have done in darkness. William's books are open. What should he do with William? Reward him or punish him?
Well, you know, I truly don't think that's up to me. If I were to answer the question, of course, I mean, you know, I would want to be rewarded. Who doesn't want to be rewarded? Who doesn't want to get the break of that Kit Kat bar? You know what I mean? But yeah, I'm full of them, man. I just keep going. I'm telling you.
I don't know whether to appreciate your cleverness or hit myself in the head with this microphone.
You know, I usually go one or two ways, and you just named both of them with in regard to my interaction with people. So yeah, it works. No, truly, I would want to, of course, be rewarded, but that wouldn't be up to me. It would truly, you know, be up to him. I would like to think that I have done things thus far. In terms of the way that, you know, God would want me to go about things. But again, you know, I've got this walk of life right now that I told you previously, like I'm like a child. Like I truly don't know in depth what it is, you know, God is necessarily looking for me to do. All I know is I take the road that I think God has given me, and that has proven thus far good.
I know it's up to him. like if you got 20 tickets, you go before the judge, you're going to say, well, it's up to the judge because he's the one in authority, right? All right. So here you brought it. Here was your objection. You basically said, Your Honor, I, William, I've indeed broken those laws, but I've done good things. I'm perhaps not as bad as Adolf Hitler or Genghis Khan. Therefore, your plea is let me go. All right. I want to reason with you, William. If you tried that to get off of 20 tickets, Your Honor, I've got 20 speeding tickets, but there's many times I didn't speed. In fact, there's many times I went under the speed limit, and sometimes I used my car to pick up bakery to bring it to my neighbor next door, who's a housebound elderly woman. What is the judge going to say to you?
Oh, and again, we have to stop and take a break, pay the bills, take a pause for the calls. These cliffhangers are killing me today. You guys okay? Are you making it through? I know your heart is just racing. Hang tight. We'll be back with more William and Todd on a Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Well, if you've ever wondered if the DEI industry was just an elaborate grift, the Associated Press, I think, has your answer. Ian Roberts, the illegal alien superintendent arrested by ICE last month, allegedly ran a profitable little side hustle, using his position to funnel taxpayer dollars to a DEI consulting firm that marketed him as a speaker and sold his books. When ideology trumps basic background checks, you get exactly what you paid for. Speaking of ideology over evidence, private emails obtained through FOIA reveal that leaders of the World Professional Association of Transgender Health knew the research behind child sex changes was shoddy, yet they kept pushing the procedures anyway. University of California, San Francisco directors, both co-authors of the influential Standards of Care, admitted behind the scenes that weak studies were fueling predatory practices by surgeons. I mean, when the doctors are privately admitting that the science is garbage, but publicly they're celebrating the life-altering procedures for minors, that's not medicine, it's malpractice. A new poll reveals 40% of American voters believe artificial intelligence will make the American dream even harder to reach, more than double the 16% who see it as helpful. And if you want to see how government invests in the future, Barack Obama's signature solar project just proved the point. This particular solar project facility, boosted by $1.6 billion in taxpayer-backed loans, is closing after never coming close to its promises. Meanwhile, Quebec has introduced legislation to enshrine abortion in the province's draft constitution with language promising the state protects women's freedom to have an abortion. That same bill pushes euthanasia as an end-of-life right. On the other hand, 51 Republican senators are urging the Trump administration to restore the ban of mailing abortion pills across state lines. Finally, a British member of parliament is upset at one county council for displaying the Union Jack and flag of St. George. He says these flags might make some residents feel excluded. According to the parliament member, being British means unity, decency, determination, having a pint, a cup of tea, and supporting the English football team. So your definition of a national identity is nothing more than a list of activities and vague promises to be nice. I don't know, maybe it's me, but it doesn't look like flags are the problem here. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content, both of which you can do at FortisInstitute.org. Also, don't forget, you can go to your favorite podcast app and subscribe to Fortis News, which is something I would really appreciate you doing. Also, rate and review while you're there, but when you subscribe, you get these updates daily. Makes it simple. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. The book of Judges covers Israel's history from the death of Joshua to just before the reign of King Saul. The reoccurring phrase is, "And everyone did what was right in their own eyes." When Israel rebelled, God allowed their enemies to triumph. But when Israel cried out to God, He raised up a deliverer. God is faithful, even when His people are not. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And we're back. It's Witness Wednesday here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks in the studio. Todd, of course, out on campus today at Kennesaw State University as he talks with William, who's a political science major. And when we last left them, Todd was reasoning with William regarding his logic on God's justice, comparing it to speeding tickets. So let's get back to their chat now from Kennesaw State University.
What is the judge going to say to you?
Yeah, he's going to be like, are you kidding me, bud? No.
Has nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Bingo. Mm. All right. Mm. So you're standing before God. The books are open. Thought life, deeds, what you've looked at on the computer, desiring things that didn't belong to you, growing up as a child, not fully and happily and cheerfully obeying parents who are your authority. Maybe you've used God's name as a curse word, lying. The crimes are stacking up.
Yes.
God's about to slam his gavel. He knows you're guilty. What's he going to do with you?
You know, whatever he deems just.
But that's obvious what it should be, right?
Yeah, I suppose to him. I mean, he's got a grander view, a grander design. I mean, that's stuff that I don't think simply we can understand. You know, I think his decision is based upon his knowledge of everything.
I totally agree, and that's the problem. It is based on everything, and his standard is higher, and he knows it all, and we're without excuse. Mm-hmm. So here's what you got sitting on this bench. Two guys who are guilty, who should be sent to hell. That's what you got sitting on this bench today. All right?
I think that's what you have sitting on the bench over there, laying down in the field out there. You know, it's everybody, though.
No argument for me. You just quoted a Bible verse.
Did I?
All sin and fall short of the glory of God. Nobody does good, not one. We are all guilty criminals. Now, with that as our backdrop, tell me what happened 2,000 years ago.
Jesus died for our sins.
Boom. Yeah. There it is. That's a big deal. It's as if the pure one, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, took all of your sins. Pick just one, all of your lies, all of your lusts, all of your dishonoring of parents, not praising God the way that you should. He took all of that, your court case, he just took it upon himself, and he received God's justice on your behalf. Mm. And in exchange, he gives you his purity, his righteousness. So if you will, God looked at him and saw William, and now he looks at William and he can see Christ. You'll be made pure because of what Jesus did for you so that you can actually be forgiven, your court case dismissed. You give Jesus your rap sheet, he gives you his resume. That's the good news.
Yeah.
Right? This is why truth is so important. If that is true, William, that's the biggest thing that's ever happened in the universe. God died, forget the world for a moment, for you. That is a big deal. So, William, here's my challenge for you as we sit here. I appreciate your intellect. I really do. And I appreciate your wit. But I want to reason with you. And I want to awaken your conscience to the knowledge of how bad we are left to ourselves. And that if Jesus didn't die for us while we were sinning, we are super hopeless. Life is bleak and eternity is going to be terrible. But he died for you. Now, here's the big deal. He makes it really clear in his teachings over and over again. You don't just get that because you're walking the planet. You must respond to that good news. Do you remember this? Or maybe you've heard this saying before. Being born again. You've heard that term before, born again Christian?
Yes, yeah, of course, of course.
That's because Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he will not see the kingdom of God. That's really, I mean, there's no fudging on that. You're either born again or you're not seeing the kingdom of God, you're going to hell. So here's my question for you. Do you know what it means to be born again?
If we were to define it, right? So like my understanding, the only understanding I know of a born again Christian is somebody who reaffirms his faith in God, and that is through baptism. That's my understanding. I could be totally wrong on that, though. I assume that you might have the answer to this, though.
Well, I think we can figure it out together. If you're going to be born again, that implies you're dead, right? Okay. I know there's different ways of being born again. You can be born again physically. Does it seem reasonable that you are going to somehow return to your mother's womb and be physically reborn? No,
No. Yeah, no.
So it's a spiritual reborn. We die to selves, and he makes us alive. Now, the question is, how do we die? And the Bible teaches the laws of God kill. When we were talking about your lying, your lusting, your dishonoring your parents, those are the laws of God. And as you think about those laws, well, but you should start to feel the weight of that and realize I'm undone. I'm a dead man walking. God's going to get me, and I have no hope. And I can't earn it. I can't talk my way out of it. I can't bribe God. I can't do enough good deeds to outweigh it because it has nothing to do with my guilt anyway. I am undone. I am a man who deserves damnation. And Jesus says, if you come to him with that broken heart, recognizing you deserve his wrath, but that he died for you, even when you hated him in your mind, he'll save you. He'll make you born again. He'll adopt you into his family. He'll forgive your sins. He'll grant you everlasting life. You'll become a child of God. Now, here's the kicker. You were just saying earlier, I didn't lose sight of this. You said, I'm trying to figure out, you know, what's the road I'm supposed to walk?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this is the road. Jesus said, broad is the road that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life. You can get on the narrow road and you walk it to heaven because Jesus is going to take you there. So what do you do about being a Marine or a political scientist? You do it.
Right.
But those things are ancillary. The road that you need to walk is either the broad road to destruction or the narrow road to life. That's the point of life, William. That's it. Getting married, having kids, that's all bells and whistles. The big deal is you're standing with God. That's the biggest issue that you need to figure out in your life. So here's my question for you. Are you born again?
I can't simply tell you, you know, just this conversation has made me born again. But I would say that it is through this conversation that I would want to pursue that idea of being born again. It is a step in the right direction.
I'm going to reason with you one more time, and I appreciate your willingness to hear this out, okay? I'm just going to use your words. You said, I'm going to take a step in that direction. Here's the way God sees it. This is what Jesus described. You're either for him or you're against him. So while you're pondering it, you're not an inch closer to eternity. You are either born again or you're not, okay? And the reason I say that is not to discourage you, but to encourage you, William, make it snappy.
Make it snappy.
Yeah, because for two reasons. One, you don't know how long you have, especially if you're being a Marine. Man, you're risking life and limb. And you could, besides, let's face it, young people die all the time. But more than that, it's to miss the point, all right? The word gospel, that was, I think, I asked you that question. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? The word means good news, all right? This isn't just about, okay, I need a ticket out of hell. This is a system that might work so my kids are well-behaved or I get some inside financial advice. That's not the point. You get to be in a right relationship with your Creator. The Creator who is holy and yet stoops to save. So sometimes people wonder what God is like. Here's what God is like. You look at Jesus Christ and you see what God is like. You see that God, even though he deserves worship, he came here to serve, not to be served. He came here to die for sinners, not to throttle them. He didn't come to war, go to war. He came to make peace so that we could be reconciled. Because God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. You get to know God. And what is not to love about the God who did the kindest thing for you that anybody could ever do? So it's to delay is to put off enjoying God. This isn't a system of philosophy to work out life, to find the formula. No, this is about reconciliation with the Creator of the universe who desires to know you. And God describes salvation that when you come to him humbly confessing your sins, putting your trust in Christ, it's not like he's going to go, fine, whatever, William. He loves you. He loves when people come to him humbly like a child. And Jesus says, I will not cast him out. So you're right. I can't do that. This conversation can't do that. But you could sit here on this glorious day that God has provided for us, and you could think about this thing intensely as if it's more important than a poli-sci quiz that you might have to take later today. Fair enough?
That is fair. That is fair.
What a really good conversation that we just had the ability to sit back and eavesdrop on between Todd and William. Let's all take the time to be in prayer for William going forward. Also, hang tight, hang out with us, because Witness Wednesday, not over yet. We'll be back right after this quick break. You're listening to Wretched Radio.
Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something? Without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it. If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Here's the truth the world doesn't tell you. Your emotions, they're not the enemy, but they also shouldn't be your master either. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now at fortisplus.org. It's a free 10-week series that shows how God's Word speaks into anxiety, depression, and emotional chaos, and it does so with clarity you've never heard before. New episodes every Monday, absolutely free at fortisplus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Life Without the Numb. Watch at fortisplus.org. Stop surviving and start living.
You know what's annoying? Everyone acts like you should just automatically know how to be a man. Like it's supposed to be obvious or something. And then when you're struggling with temptation or you don't know what you're supposed to be doing with your life, they just say, hey, try harder, pray more. Yeah, I'll do that. Okay, thanks for nothing. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson is actually doing something. He's going to tell you the truth. A brand new Fortis Forum that you can find at fortisplus.org. 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. Dr. Tyson's going to give you real answers from the Bible. Not cliches, not go figure it out for yourself, but actual steps that will tell you and teach you how to fight sin with Scripture, how to live with purpose instead of just reacting to whatever happens. Here's the best part. He's going to start with the gospel, so you're not trying to earn God's approval. You're going to be living from His approval. It's on Fortis Plus on demand. You can watch whenever you want at Fortis Forum with Dr. Adam Tyson, and it's free. Because Fortis Plus is free. Hey, if you're tired of guessing what manhood looks like, just go watch it right now. fortisplus.org. fortisplus.org. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Ever feel like you're watching the world turn upside down and wondering if everyone else is seeing the same thing you are? Yeah, you're not alone. And at Fortis Institute, we're not just watching from the sidelines. We're fighting back with truth. We've brought together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity, people who aren't afraid to speak biblical truth into marriage and parenting and manhood and the cultural battles we're facing every day. But here's the thing, that mission, well, it takes resources. And that's where faithful gospel partners come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry, you're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. You're standing with us in this brave new world. And hey, while you're thinking about it, make sure you download Fortis Plus if you haven't already. Hundreds of hours of biblical content available for you to listen to right now, and we're adding more every day, and it's completely free for everyone. The church needs more than just encouragement right now. It needs equipping. Will you stand with us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who He is and what He has done. Jesus is called the Advocate. When we as God's redeemed people sin, Jesus is our advocate before the Father. It is on the basis of Christ's righteousness that we are saved, not our own works. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And we return to Witness Wednesday here on Wretched Radio. You know, I was just thinking during that break, I know, scary thought, me thinking, but seriously, I was thinking that we tend to move from conversation to conversation here on Witness Wednesday, but we really never take time to hear Todd unpack the conversation that he just had. So that's what I want to try to propose right now. Todd, tell me to go fly a kite if you don't want to do this, but do you have any thoughts that you may be willing to share about the chat that you just had with William?
I'd be happy to share my thoughts about William, who just disappeared. Number one, if you have been anxious about going to a university campus to talk to students, because these days we can't talk to one another and everything is acrimonious and everybody fights, that was a demonstration. Furthermore, William actually was grateful for the conversation, for talking about bigger things than what he has to study every day in these classrooms. He was actually grateful to be talking about big ideas. Now, I grant you, not everybody is like William, but a lot of students are. And if you would please think about going to a university campus, figure out your fishing hole, where you go, how you go about approaching it. But you will be very pleased to know that students here do like to talk about these things. I did notice some theological things when we were talking. When you're in an evangelistic encounter, especially if you have practiced enough, if this whole concept is very new to you, you might not be able to juggle these balls, which is why the more you can practice with one another, as somebody has to play the pagan. So find a Christian friend. Your pal plays the pagan, and then you witness to him and vice versa. You'll start to get good at it, and it'll allow you to start to hear things like William said, baptism gets you into the kingdom. Baptism makes you born again. Now, I don't know his upbringing, but it sounded like he had a pretty heavy dose of baptismal regeneration, that you must be baptized through a ceremony in order to be forgiven, and that's, of course, not biblical. And so I want to address things like that. So if I can be engaged in the conversation, witnessing to somebody while listening for little clues, I frequently file those so that I can actually use those as talking points. Those can be the things that I bring up to just keep talking to somebody. And so with William, I heard that he was a Baptist, that he thought baptism was a really important thing, but that he clearly, as is so often the case, simply did not know the G-O-S-P-E-L. That's why I wanted to move as quickly as possible from the natural realm into the spiritual realm. Because anytime you listen to somebody's conversation, when you're just engaging them to talk and ask them questions, it doesn't take much to get into the spiritual realm. So I asked him about why he wanted to become a Marine, and he brings up God and country. Hello, lady, I'm in. He brought it up. And if you just follow their lead by listening to folks, I'm just telling you, it's not hard to get into these conversations. I had something completely different planned today. I was going to use something else to start a conversation with William. I jettisoned that. Because as soon as he said God, I said, go, here we have it. So just listen. And just one last thing, please, please, please don't see your William as a mark, as a target, and certainly not as the enemy. I have been learning this the hard way, that when I go to a campus, and I kind of have this agenda, like I'm going to witness to so many people, or I'm going to really persuade people, or I'm going to show them how wrong their worldview is. It goes a different way. It just becomes much more contentious. And so instead, when I come out to this campus, and when I've prayed, and when I've asked the Lord to sensitize my heart, to remember that he actually came to die for his people. He came to die for people. And I suspect that he had to wake up every morning and get on it every single morning. He was here on a mission, and he put his feet out of his, well, he probably slept on the floor a lot with a rock as a pillow. And he got up day after day because he came to seek and to save that which is lost. And now he bids us to go and do likewise. And so that's what I'm trying to be here for. Not to win an argument, not to win a debate, but to be a representative of the good shepherd who cares for his sheep. And so I don't want to come and fight. I don't want to come and debate. I just want to come and try to share some really, really great news with people who are lost.
That's actually a really vital point that we, or at least I can only speak for myself, but I tend to forget that The Bible clearly explains that lost people cannot understand the things of God. Those things are spiritually appraised. For the natural man, the lost man, spiritual things are foolish. That's what the Bible tells us. So we really don't need to be spending our time debating and arguing biblical truth with lost people. They're never going to understand what it is that we're trying to tell them until they've been born again. And as Paul tells us in Romans 1, the power of God unto salvation is the gospel. And that has to be our focus when we witness to people, whether it's on university campuses, whether it's at work, whether it's at home, or possibly even church. And that's the truth, because sadly, many of the people that we share pews with on Sunday mornings, people that would call themselves Christians, just like William here, have no real understanding of what it means to be born again. Can a person be saved and not know it? Can a person be saved and not changed? And I'm not saying perfect, but changed. I believe the answer to that question is no. So when we encounter someone who we believe to be lost through the conversations that we have with them, don't spend time correcting their theology, but spend your time bathing them in the gospel. Look, people can be saved and have bad theology. We see that all over the place. And there are times and there are places and times to have conversations with brothers and sisters about their theology, especially if they're people that are a part of your local church. But an encounter with a lost soul, listen, apologetics, hermeneutics are not the power of God unto salvation. Those things are important. I'm not saying they're not important. They should be studied. They should be learned by the believer. The unbeliever only needs the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else will do. Nothing else can do. Arguing, debating with unbelievers has absolutely zero fruit to it if it's void of the gospel. So give them the gospel. That's the only thing that will give them life. And that's is another Witness Wednesday. Yep, we're all out of time for this episode, but we will see you back here tomorrow for another edition of Wretched Radio. Until then, until tomorrow, go serve your king.
In a world where the stakes are high and death can make you dead, a man without a past and with no future is about to find the antidote. Meet the love of his life, defeat terrorism, and rescue handicapped orphans from a space shuttle disaster. But first, he'll have to race around the world, get mixed up with the mob, win American Idol, and switch bodies with Fred Savage. He's a one-man killing machine, your worst nightmare, a hero waiting to be made. Until now. From the people who brought you Howard the Duck Part 2 comes a story about love, compassion, revenge, Little League Baseball, Italian food, murder, and the triumph of the human spirit. Starring Edward Norton, Meryl Streep, Jack Nicholson, Angelina Jolie, Sidney Pollack, Lisa Kudrow, Steve Guttenberg, Alyssa Milano, Tom Waits, Betty White, Edward Norton, Father Guido Sarducci, Dustin Hoffman, Philip Seymour, Hoffman, Salami Sandwich, Edward Norton, International Action Hero Chow Yun-Fat, Julianne Moore, Demi Moore, Mary Tyler Moore, Michael Moore, Mandy Moore, Roger Moore, The Ghost of Dudley Moore, more stars than you can shake a stick at, and Edward Norton, trapped in a race against time. This Friday, this Wednesday, this holiday season, and March 12th. Sometimes, what we need most is right around the corner. Whatever that means. Coming soon, now in theaters, on DVD Tuesday.
Now, for the first time ever, it's I'm Dreaming of an Ultra PC Christmas. It's all your favorite holiday hits reimagined so as not to offend anyone ever. This double CD is jam-packed with hits like Little Drummer Non-Cisgendered Person, Santa Claus is Coming to My Sanctuary City, White Privilege Christmas, You Stupid Racist, All I Want for Christmas is You to Disrupt the Patriarchy, Oh Come All Ye Faithful, but Please Don't Talk to Us About It, Religion is Controversial, Deck the Halls with Marxist Literature, Feliz Navidad Frank Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act. It's the most wonderful time of the year, unless it's not, so please don't minimize other people's struggles, you jerk. Have yourself a merry little protest in front of a nativity scene. I saw Mommy and Daddy kissing Santa Claus, and that's okay because I support their lifestyle choice. Baby, it's cold outside, but you're a strong woman and can handle it. Here's your jacket. Bye. Grandma got run over by a Prius, so at least the carbon footprint was a net positive for the planet. And of course, jingle bells. So get I'm Dreaming of an Ultra PC Christmas today. Available at Kmart.